Batting practice is batting practice, whether in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago or in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is where I was watching it on Monday night in the company of Bridgeport Bluefish pitcher Tim Gustafson and a few others.
This is probably an everyday thing for us. Just hordes of media and fans just knocking down the doors. So it's, you know, no big deal.
The Bluefish, unaffiliated with a major league organization, have the worst attendance in the Atlantic League, which includes teams in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Camden, New Jersey, among other burgs. But on Monday night, they doubled their usual 2,300 or so fans by inviting Pete Rose to manage the club, with the able assistance of their regular manager, Willie Upshaw. Rose's appearance was a promotion Tim Gustafson could appreciate.
I have eaten at his restaurants a couple times in South Florida. You know, but my wife's grandfather, I asked if he wanted an autograph. He said, shoot, yeah, you know, I want to show it around to my buddies at home. So there is meaning to a certain generation, and that's all that matters. If one generation cares, you know, I think it's worth it.
The manager for a day was Major League Baseball's Rookie of the Year in 1963, the National League's Most Valuable Player in 1973, and the World Series MVP in 1975. He was banished from baseball in 1989 when then MLB Commissioner Bart Giamatti determined that Rose had bet on games when he was managing the Cincinnati Reds. A year later, Rose went to prison for cheating on his taxes. But lots of the fans who showed up at the ballpark at Harbor Yard on Monday night didn't know that, or they were willing to forget it. Scott Hockford, resplendent in a Pete Rose Cincinnati Reds jersey, had never before seen the Bluefish play.
I've never been to this ballpark. Pete Rose is around. I'd like to see him, cheer him on. Hopefully he'll get into the Hall of Fame soon. I mean, he was a tough, hard player. He wasn't one of those who showboated, and he was, you know, a hard ass the entire time he played.
Before the game, Rose addressed the press from behind a table in right field. He was interrupted at times by the trains passing behind and above the outfield wall. He tapped and thumped on the table and fiddled with a watch that looked as if it weighed about 11 pounds. One of the first questions had to do with Rose's return to the dugout, at least for one night. How was managing the Bluefish different from managing in the bigs?
How's this different when I manage the Reds? When I managed the Reds, I had pants on. Baseball pants.
And cue the rim shot. For the record, Rose, considerably wider than in his playing days, was wearing a pair of dark slacks. Rose denied that the appearance in Bridgeport had been calculated to encourage MLB Commissioner Bud Selig to welcome him back to baseball. In fact, he denied he had anything against the commissioner and referred to a couple of meetings he'd had with Mr. Selig as cordial.
We're sitting in his office, just him and I, and the phone rings. And he picks it up and he talks and he hangs it up. And I says to him, I says, well, I says, I know the postmaster don't work in this town. It's nice to know that the phones ring. And he said, it's all according to who's calling. Because they never answered my calls or answered my mail. And he just laughed. So he's got a hint sense of humor. You know, I was about ready to kick his ass, but they made me get out of there.
At another point during the press conference, Rose mentioned that he, his agent, and his attorney had obtained Commissioner Selig's approval for the Monday night gig. This provided the temporary manager with yet another opportunity to protest that being on the field in Bridgeport had nothing to do with his 25-year-long attempt to re-enter Major League Baseball's good graces and become eligible for election to the Hall of Fame.
The band's going to outlive me. I wish I could be 113 applying for reinstatement, but I'm going to tell you again, I'm the one that screwed up, so I'm not sitting here whining about being reinstated. You guys brought that up. If I've ever reinstated, I won't need a third chance, believe me.
The screw-ups to which Pete Rose referred were many and varied. They included betting on baseball and denying that he'd done it, then acknowledging that he sort of had sometimes, but not often, and never on his own team, and finally admitting that he'd bet on the Reds. Rose says that these days he works 4.5 hours a day in a mall in Las Vegas, signing his name. Without being asked, he defended the venue. In Las Vegas, he said, the customer turnover is constant. In Bridgeport, for one night, the drill was similar. Signed Rose bats went for $150. A ticket to the luncheon at which he entertained earlier in the day was $250. Most of the fans who showed up that night just wanted to get a glimpse of the man who'd collected more major league hits than anybody else. But one of the paying customers, Brian Clark, had come with a dream. He said he hoped Rose would put himself into the game as a pinch hitter and hit one over somebody's head.
Absolutely. If he could come out on the field and get a base hit, oh yeah. Yeah, then I could die and I'll be happy, yes.
Was that a possibility? Not in front of a mere 4,500 fans. But if reinstatement ever happened, and if the circumstances were just right...
I don't think anybody's going to get 4,257 hits as long as I'm alive. It'd be hard. And I never did retire, so I'll keep that option open in case someone does. I can come back. These pitchers today, I can get one more hit. I can scramble one up the middle and crawl to first base.
The Bluefish, sort of managed in part by the Hit King, beat the Lancaster Barnstormers on Monday night 2-0. So, in Bridgeport at least, Pete Rose is 1-0.
Fans, let's hear from Pete Rose.